Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Tell us what's going on.
You're early, Janine.
Hello, how are you? Yes, I am.
Hello, Janine.
Usually I ring in and sometimes I can hear some tunes playing, so I sort of bop along to that or I laugh at some of the comments that you're making.
Oh, thank you. Most of the comments we make, Janine,
are laughable.
Yes, laughing. People laugh at us, not with us, though. That's the sad part.
I think a bit of both.
I think you're right.
You're very kind.
I think you're
very
right. Kind. So how are things at Leafy Hawthorn today?
I was just telling Nathan that it's really overcast here. It's been raining this morning, so I heard that you guys got that last night and you've passed it our way.
No, we've had the light showers here in Geelong, just a sprinkling and not enough to even...
It was raining very heavy about 7 o'clock this morning.
It was absolutely pouring.
Oh, it was.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was. I could hear it on the roof.
It was monsoonal while I was driving.
Bed. It was ridiculous.
But later on...
Outrageous.
So it sounds like we've got similar weather up to the, as Hawthorn. Now, that's where the home of Wealth Within, of course, is at the moment.
Yes, and all eyes are on the market at the moment.
Yeah.
And have you been following the market over the last week or so?
It's had its ups and downs, hasn't it?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. Last week it was up one day, down the next, and Monday we were actually up about 80 points. But for the rest of the week, it's all been wiped out, and we've continued lower. And yesterday we hit a low of 4,199, so just cracked that 4,200 point mark. And today it's been holding around or just above that level.
Yeah, I think it's probably more to come too, would you suggest?
Well, look, it's such an important time right now. I mean, have you noticed that there's so much happening around the world? I mean, it's just really full on, isn't it? I mean, with everything that's going on in Europe, there's so much for investors to sort of get their head around. And we've been waiting for a decision from the European leaders as to the bailout package. And there's a meeting this weekend that's going to take place, and they're saying that they'll definitely give the market an answer next Wednesday, but they've been saying that they're going to give the market an answer now for some time, and it keeps getting strung out. Well, I believe that last night that the Greeks passed the remainder of the plans that had to be passed through the parliament, and there was an interesting story that I read of one of the changes that were made. There was the point about the minimum wage.
Right.
That was one of and they abolished it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there were actually some of the socialists that form the parliament who were actually opposing it. And I believe that one lady actually lost her job over standing against it.
Wow.
Well, the Greeks wouldn't be too happy about that, actually having to...
No.
No, the public wouldn't.
The public, yes.
I also read that what they're planning on doing with all of these measures that they've put in place is bringing the deficit down to 2.9% of GDP by 2014. And I thought, well, you know, if there's such a dire situation and that massive amount of debt and the bailout is going to do, you know, bring change the balance of the equation back more in favour of the Greeks, then it's only going to take 2 years for them to almost get back to neutral by the sound of it. So...
They promised to get the budget into a deficit in Australia within 2 years as well, haven't they?
Yeah, when you consider the Greek situation, I mean, so why does such a large bailout package need to be given to them?
Well, only time will tell. It's going on and on, isn't it? And we know that the Germans and the French are just getting a little bit...
They're not too happy, are they?
Well, you wouldn't. I mean, imagine if, you had lent some money to your neighbour and then... you had to write half of that debt off. You wouldn't be very happy about that arrangement either, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know what I'd be doing. Just dropping into my neighbour and going, hey, you need to give it back. Now, the Greeks, they have a fairly good pension scheme, don't they, Janine?
Well, they did have. There are significant changes that have happened there as well. And someone was telling me the other day that their public transport system was an honour system. And,
it's like the Victorian one, really, isn't it?
Well, what's the difference between Melbourne and...
Well, look, I mean, you know, you sort of take for granted that people are actually paying for it here, but apparently there was quite a lot of rorting going on over there, so that's just one example, I guess.
And they retire at like 50 or something on a full pension, don't they?
95%,
Yeah.
Which is interesting. A two-hour lunch break, isn't it?
Something like that.
Well, siesta?
Brett pretty much was in the life of a Greek person.
I am.
Look at you,
and
though.
I love Greek food. So, look, I just may just go over to Mykonos or something and live there.
But do you know what? I mean, look, I don't see anything wrong with people retiring at 50 if you can afford it.
Thank you. Exactly. Thank you, Janine. I'm glad you said that.
Stop sticking up for him.
And the other side of it, too, is that, you know, I mean, the Greeks probably would have continued along their merry path if it had not been for all the borrowing that took place with the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the GFC and that combination really got them into a bind, didn't it?
Wouldn't the Olympics have built up their economy?
That was the theory,
yeah.
But I don't think it worked out.
They had to build to actually, you know, I think that they were going, we'll just throw it into the Colosseum, but it was like, well, not the Colosseum, yeah, but you know what I mean.
The Parthenon,
same place.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if we're looking at our market in particular at the moment and to see how we're faring along, as I said, we're holding around that 4,200 point level. And for anyone who's been watching the market on a day-to-day basis, I'd just like to say that it means more what happens on a Friday, because the players who are in the know and that are controlling the market, they're the ones that close out the market. So you really want to see how the market fares at the end of every week and where the market actually closes. So we'd like to see it close up today, you know, to move back up off the low and hold above the 4,200 point level. Now, if the market can move up from where it is now, find support and rise, there is still a possibility that we could be heading to the 4,500 point level.
That'd be good.
Mm. Now,
well, it's good to have that optimism, Janine.
But you always have to look at both sides of the story and weigh up the pros and the cons. So if the market starts to unfold on the upside and we're heading back to the 4,300 point level, then we could have much higher confidence that we head back up to 4,500. And then at least we'll have a bit more price support underneath us to move higher. However, if the market does fall away from this 4,200 and heads back towards 4,000, there's a much higher probability it'll swing the other way. The pendulum will be heading back towards the bear camp, and therefore we would expect that there could be further falls. So, you know, everything's hanging in the balance with announcements that are going to be made over the next week or so.
Yeah.
Now, Janine, I've just forgotten completely what I was going to say there. Continue on, Nico.
You were excited when you started talking about the bears.
Yes.
The bears and the bulls.
Yes.
We're not sure. There's a bit of bull coming here from Brett at the moment. But,
that's it. I'm going.
What about the money? We missed our man today from Western Union. Have you got a handle on the dollar and some of the currency exchanges today, Janine?
Well, look, the Aussie dollar has been really strong over the last week or so. I mean, I had expected the dollar to pull back in September and hit around 95 cents. Now, it actually went to, I think, 94 or slightly below it, 93 point something. And since then, we've had a nice rise out of it. And I know some people who are travelling overseas soon and they were quite pleased to see that rebound occur. Now, given the strength of the rise that we saw last week, I'd say that it's got a reasonable chance of holding above that dollar mark for a while.
I've got it at 102.36. Or 102.28 at the moment, the dollar.
Well, it's going to be a real challenge for the dollar to break back through about $1.07. Around that level is a really strong level. So, you know, if it can continue to move up over the next couple of weeks and hold above the dollar mark for another, say, 2 or 3 weeks, then I've got a much higher confidence in it breaking that $1.07 level.
Right.
That'd be good.
Well,
now, Janine, I remember my question, so I've written it down. The RBA are voting next Tuesday or Cup Day?
Yep,
They're sitting on Cup Day. Up or down, do you think? Or keep it as it is?
As is. At this point, I'm thinking that, you know, the indications are not really there for them to cut, in my opinion. I think the retailers are probably going to be disappointed if that happens, because coming into the festive season, you know, they generally make 50% of their revenues from this period that we're coming into. So, look, if they don't see that, then I think that they won't get a nice lift in retail sales. I think retail sales are going to remain flat and could even fall lower into 2012.
Yeah, well, some sports bookmakers are doing a double at the moment. You can have a double on the Melbourne Cup, pick the winner, and also on the decision that the RBA will make. So,
what's your bet?
I'd go for no rise.
No rise. What number's that in the race, Nico?
And perhaps the French horse that won the Geelong Cup this week, Dunedin.
Dunedin,
yes.
That's the one I backed, actually, in the cup, and won $60. I was very happy with that.
Yeah. So that's our tip for the week. Yes.
Maybe you should pick a couple of stocks on the market, then.
I'll
see how you go.
No, or...
Well,
one
stocks like Wesfarmers, you know, some of the big stocks.
Yeah, go out on a limb and pick a really hard one.
Well, we've seen Coles this week. They're soaring, but their Target stores and Kmart's are not that flash, are they?
No, but even still, I think the whole retail sector is really flat, and it's likely to stay that way. And look, I don't know what's going to happen with Bunnings, given the competition in the marketplace for them, but I can tell you that my preference is to shop at Bunnings and keep my money in that camp with Wesfarmers.
Yeah.
But look, just to talk about what's going on in the big picture, with the retail sales side of it here versus what's happening in the US, because we've been hearing about all sorts of job losses and manufacturing's actually looking like it's stabilising, but the housing market over there is still falling away, and so therefore all of that news, no one's seeing a real turnaround yet there, anything that's tangible, so that's affecting us here in Australia. So looking at what some of the headlines have been there, as Wall Street readies cuts, fears grow in luxury market. What's happening over there is, you know, you have two sides to the retail sector in Australia. You have the high-end market, you have three main ones, but you have the high-end, middle-end, and the lower-end, but most of it's occupied by, in terms of the dollar terms, the middle and the top-end. And in New York, they were talking about how, that given that these big bankers and the Goldman Sachs, market, the guys in the top end of the institutions get these huge payouts. What the retailers and the real estate agents over there are fearing is that because the bonuses are all going to be cut, that the money is not going to be coming through in those areas, so they're not going to be buying up the big holiday houses, and they're not going to be, buying extra luxury items in those stores, which is interesting, because when it starts happening at the top end, often you get the ripple effect going down.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, and I think it could happen here too. And you can get on those shopping buses to the factory outlets. Forget those retails.
Well, that's right. Yeah, a lot of people do that to get bargains as a social thing as well, rather than buying on the internet.
I've been hearing that of late they are booming, these shopping trips to factory outlets and those bargain shops. So,
just see how many Australian-made items you can find. That would be the challenge.
Yeah, that's right. Very, very few. Hey, we better keep moving. I'm just looking at the clock, Brett. It's 6 minutes to midday. We always have a lovely chat with Janine Cox from Wealth Within.
Thank you very much
for
having me on
the show. If
you want
to know more, of course, you should jump on your website.
Wealthwithin.com.au or call us on 1300 742 738.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300 ShareTrade.